720 WGN, Kevin Powell with you up until 6:45. We're carrying the Big Ten Championship game tonight, Ohio State taking on Wisconsin. So I'll be here for the next hour and 45. White Sox Weekly was a good time. Thanks to Scott Merkin and Bobby Jenks. So last night, the Roe Khan Show was out for the Knarble Express, and we were at the Tinley Park Convention Center raising toys for tots. And thank you to everyone who was involved with that. Thank you to everyone who stopped by and dropped off toys. Thousands and thousands of toys were raised. So it was really cool to see the turnout for that. We had a great time. After that event, we went out. We always like to do a show like Roe, Rich, Lauren, me, like a holiday-type dinner get-together. So we had a bunch of us went out. We're hanging out watching the Blackhawks game, and the place erupted. Kirby Dock with the game winner last night. Chris Bonin obviously was watching that closely. It is pregame and postgame for the Blackhawks broadcast here on WGN. Chris, thanks for jumping on the beat, and that was a fun one last night.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, everyone was kind of wondering after the dramatic victory in Boston the previous night, going up against a team who had the second fewest points in the league and just coming off a coaching change because they had the second fewest points in the league, how they would react. I think, you know, everyone was kind of expecting after a couple of days under their belts that the Devils would come out pretty assertive, and they did play a pretty good game. That's a team that gives up usually allows a lot of goals, but they're pretty structured. And I think the Hawks recognized that, even though they took those three consecutive penalties in the first period, they were able to withstand that probably almost as best as you could hope by just allowing the one goal and then staying in it. And they got better as the game went along, and but still, it was both goaltenders were great, and in the end, it was the number three overall pick with the winner, and then Corey Crawford denying the number one overall pick from last June's draft.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool the way that all unfolded. Crawford, by the way, became the 59th goalie in NHL history to record 250 wins. Robin Leonard before that Boston game, and Boston has basically been unbeatable, especially on home ice. You know, the Hawks were kind of reeling. They were hurting a little bit. They were not playing all that great over the past couple weeks, and Leonard was like, no, this is the sort of team they need to face. Step up to the challenge. Win over a team like the Bruins, who were in first place, who were looking like a Stanley Cup contending team. And they went out and got a little dicey at the end there. Had to go to overtime, but Taves with the winner. But back-to-back wins here, Chris. It's kind of just been a roller coaster of a season so far.
Yeah, I mean, it really has. And it kind of the way things were last season, too. You're waiting for them to put that consistency together. And, you know, they go, the start is kind of meh, and then they put together that 6-1-1 streak, and you're thinking, okay, maybe they're off to the races here, and then they go and follow that up with going 1-5-1, and all of a sudden the offense that they seemingly found disappeared, and you're wondering what's going on. So, you know, now we wait to see, which a tough stretch of schedule continues here with Arizona at home tomorrow night, and they're like the second-best road team in the league. They're 1 point out of the Pacific Division lead. Then you go to Vegas, where the Hawks finally won their last trip in there. You hope that provides a good vibe. And then they go to Arizona and then finish next week off, next Saturday night in St. Louis. And, the Blues are pretty dominant against the Blackhawks here at the United Center last Monday night. So leave it to Robin to come up with a different outlook on things and express it as well, because you don't usually get that from athletes, much less hockey players. But Robin's a little different cat, and he's been interesting to go to since he came here for all things, whether it's off ice stuff or on ice stuff. And even though he's a new guy in that locker room where there are a lot of Stanley Cup rings floating around, he can walk the walk as well by the way he has performed over the course of the last couple of seasons and how he's performed for the Blackhawks so far, because he's been responsible for a handful of the wins that the Hawks have.
I love his honesty. He's been a breath of fresh air. By the way, that was the mom strip. 2 for 2 on the mom strip. The Blackhawks every year, it swaps every year. One year they'll do the moms go on a trip with them. The next year it'll be the dads on the trip. So Blackhawks moms undefeated on the year, Chris.
Yeah, and now the talk is that are Rocky and John going to let them go on next week's trip? Which
until they lose with the moms on the road, spots? Keep them going on the road. I'm fine with that.
Right. So, but that's not our money, Kevin.
I know.
So I don't know if they would be able to do that. But hey, you know what? If they go and have a rough trip, I wouldn't put it past them. You know, the next perhaps a little shorter trip that they have, They might want to roll that out to see if it works, because yeah, it was you can't argue about 4 points in 24, 25 hours.
Yeah, for sure. He's Chris Bowden. He's got your WGN Blackhawks pregame and postgame show every game. And the next one is tomorrow night, 5:30 pregame, Chris. And then you'll be here for the postgame as well. Anything fun for Chris Bowden on a Saturday night, on a chilly Saturday night in Chicago?
Just going up to celebrate an in-law's birthday at a nearby restaurant, which by the way, I'm not located too far from where you guys were yesterday, except you were coming out here and then I was going down to the station, so our paths never crossed. But good on you guys for doing that that great event that that Roe always does every year. So yeah, other than hitting the restaurant with about 9 or 10 family members, getting together to celebrate father-in-law's birthday. That's about it. After that, we're back to homework for tomorrow night. So that's my Saturday night.
Well, happy birthday, father-in-law. Hope you guys have a great night, Chris. Appreciate you jumping on. We'll be listening to you tomorrow at 5:30 for the Blackhawks pregame.
No problem, Kev. Great to join you.
All right, Chris. Thanks a bunch. That's Chris Bowden. The great Chris Bowden. I love Chris Bowden. Such a nice man. Okay, the beat rolls on. Kevin Powell with you. It is 5:16 here on WGN. They will take this up to the Big Ten Championship game. We've got college football on the air tonight at 6:45, Ohio State taking on Wisconsin. I have thoughts on the Bears. As always, we'll talk with our Bears insider, Adam Hogue, next on 720 WGN. Bear down, Chicago Bears. They have provided just enough hope to make you believe or pray or think of the playoffs this season, the postseason for the Chicago Bears. 3 straight victories. They're now 7-6. And really, they're coming off probably their most complete game. Well, not probably. It was their most complete game of the season. Would you agree with that, Bears insider Adam Hogue?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. They were good, really, from start to finish. If you want to nitpick at some of the defense allowing a 17-play drive to start the game, that happens, though, when plays are scripted like they are early in the game. And I think you got to give the defense a lot of credit for the way they're battling through a lot of injuries right now, down 4 starters in that game once Roquan Smith went out. But offensively, they certainly seem to be finding their groove. So really, that was their best performance of the season. It was against a formidable opponent. I realize the Cowboys are struggling right now, but you can't completely dismiss what they did to that Cowboys team the other day just because the Cowboys are struggling. And it's something to build on right now. Unfortunately, their destiny's not completely in their own hands right now. They have a tough road ahead of them, and they need some help. But they're certainly making December interesting.
They are in the hunt, Adam. Do not discount the Chicago Bears. As the game went on Thursday night, and I know you mentioned that was 17-play drive to start the game for the Cowboys. I've said this all season. So the only offense that could beat the Bears defense, like the Bears offense managed to kill the Bears defense this season. I mean, I think, but like as the game went on Thursday night and you saw like, wow, the offense actually looks like a normal NFL offense and was sustaining drives and putting multi-play drives together and not going 3 and out, the defense looked pretty good for a stretch there.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, the defense has been fine all season. Unfortunately, when you have an incredible year like you did last year, that's what you're going to be compared to. And those are really unrealistic expectations. And this defense has done its job all year. There's moments where you can criticize a little bit and they don't get that stop in London, for instance, against the Raiders, things like that. They've not been perfect, but if they had any help whatsoever from the offense in the first half of the season, first of all, I think the Bears would have been winning more games because the defense was still putting them in position to win. But also the defense would have been playing even better than they were because, it's a complementary game. You have to have all 3 phases working together. And when they do, you see games like you saw on Thursday night against the Cowboys, where it just really looks good from start to finish. So, I have no really big complaints about this defense this year. I think Chuck Pagano's done a good job holding together a good unit. I think some people kind of actually underestimated the type of coaching change that happens, you're always going to have some kind of resistance or adversity of just trying to learn. It's not necessarily a completely new system, but a new language, and you don't necessarily know your own coach's tendencies. And there's really been no question about the buy-in with Chuck Pagano. These players have been all in. I think you got to give them a lot of credit for not pointing fingers when the offense was struggling the way they were earlier in the season. And how about the depth? I mean, right now, the defensive line has been holding it together without Akeem Hicks out there. And then an inside linebacker, you got Kevin Pierre-Lewis and Nick Kwiatkowski out there, and they look like the two best players on the field the other night. You got to give Ryan Pace credit for that he's built depth at some positions where they've had a ton of injuries.
Yeah, and speaking of injuries, Roquan Smith not looking good, right? What did Matt Nagy have to say about it, the pec injury?
Yeah, so they haven't completely said that he's going to be out for the year. There hasn't been a roster move yet, but it does not look good. Usually when you have a pectoral injury and you're ruled out right away, it means you tore it. Now, I would say my experience with these injuries with covering players that have these injuries, 90% of the time it's a tear that you need surgery and you're out for the year. Nick Kwiatkowski did have one a few years ago where he, I believe, missed four games and was able to play through it the rest of the season. So that was only a partial tear that was able to heal on its own, or at least could put off, correcting it. Still missed four games, though. There's only three games left in the regular season. So, it'll be interesting to see how bad it really is for Roquan Smith, but I would say at a minimum, they're not going to have him here for the last three games of the season. And really, the way Matt Nagy talked about it, I'd be surprised if he doesn't go on IR and we don't see him until next year.
All right, that's the bad news. The good news is Akeem Hicks, who his loss has been large, is looking like he'll be back for that Packers game, a must win. That's a big one.
Yeah, it's huge because, last year I was a little bit controversial, or I think I ruffled some feathers when I said that Akeem Hicks had just as good of a season as Khalil Mack did. But that's really how good he was throughout the 2018 season, and you saw both in the first three games when he was it seemed like he was battling through a leg injury and wasn't completely himself, that how much you missed him just being that dominant player, but also you still saw how valuable he still was in there just being on the field because he's taking up double teams and he was getting doubled way more early on this season than he had been last year. I remember asking him about that back in September and he's like, yeah, dude, I'm getting doubled all the time. But he's eating up those double teams so that the linebackers can run free, so that it singles up, Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack a little bit more. And it's just such a huge thing to have him out there. So getting him back, even if he's not 100%, is just such a big deal because the Packers are going to have to game plan for him. Now, it's still an interesting matchup because if there's ever a quarterback that's good at the quick game that can neutralize that type of pass rush and pick on some linebackers that are not necessarily all pros in Nick Kwiatkowski and Kevin Pierre-Lewis out there, it's Aaron Rodgers, right? So I'm a little worried about that matchup. I'm a little worried if Prince Amukamara can't come back this week. We'll have to see once they get back to practice what his availability is like. But I would just imagine that, with Aaron Rodgers out there, he's going to be able to minimize that pass rush on his own with a quick game. And he's just so good at picking on weaknesses. So that is a little bit concerning. The good news is I think if this offense can continue doing what they're doing, Mitch Trubisky and the Bears offense is going to be, much more dangerous than it was back in week one when they only put up 3 points against the Packers in the season opener.
Watching Trubisky play Thursday night was like, finally, like this is exactly the style of play. Evan, we're talking with Adam Hallgar, Bears insider, by the way. That's exactly the way everyone sort of envisioned his play. And we saw games like that from him last year where he's on the move, whether it's a play design or not. it's still him on the move. It's whether him identifying a coverage and running the ball. Like, where has that been?
Well, so, I mean, the thing is you, for any offense, no matter what style it is, you want to be able to do a little bit of everything successfully. Mm-hmm. And the problem was early in the year, they were really doing nothing successfully. And I think that Matt Nagy knew in the offseason, yeah, this guy, we can help this guy out with play action. We get him on the move. He's good when he's running. But for him to be a long-term good starter and to be able to fully run this system that I want to run, he needs to also be a pocket passer. So I think they were really trying to get him to do that early on in the season. And unfortunately, the Packers exposed him right away in week one. There was obviously some type of stubbornness there to see if he could figure it out without completely going back to, you know, the things that everybody was yelling for. Like, come on, get this guy rolling out, get this guy with some more play action, do some things that'll help him. And eventually Matt Nagy got there. Now, I also think you need to remember, as much as they've downplayed the shoulder injury he has, he does have a shoulder injury, and he's playing through some pain. So they're going to limit his running and his exposure to more hits because he now has two injuries in 2 years off of scrambling. So that is something that you got to take into account. I think eventually they just reached a point where absolutely, and Matt Nagy, I've said it, I think he waited a little bit too long, but eventually got to the point where, like, all right, I have no choice. Let's get back to the basics, the things he knows how to do. And it built his confidence back up because he had success with it. And then if you really paid attention in the last 2 weeks, with the big throws he had in Detroit, and that's really kind of the whole game against Dallas, he was getting back to being a better pocket passer, hanging in there. It was not just off play action. It was not just him rolling out. He was doing everything well. That's what you want. And I think they got there by building his confidence back up, he's really starting to run the offense the way Matt Nagy envisioned from the start. Now the question is, can he continue to do it these last 3 weeks?
Adam Hogue, 10 seconds. You went to Wisconsin. They take on Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. We'll have that game at 6:45. Who wins tonight?
Yeah, I think Ohio State wins. I do think Wisconsin puts up a better fight. It was a three-point game in the third quarter in Columbus, and I think Wisconsin's playing much better football offensively right now to hang through four quarters. But I do think Ohio State will ultimately win. They're just so good.
He's Adam Hogue, our WGN Bears insider. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate you jumping on, man.
All right. No problem, Kev.
All right. Thanks. That's Adam Hogue. You can read his stuff at WGNradio.com. Listen to his podcast, which is a must listen if you are a Bears fan. I'm Kevin Powell. It's 5:30. More to come on The Beat, 720 WGN. 5:33 on a Saturday evening in Chicago. Kevin Powell with you. You're listening to The Beat on 720 WGN, taking this up to Big Ten championship game. Ohio State taking on Wisconsin. We're going to have that game here on WGN. Not as exciting for me as it was last year when Northwestern made it to the Big Ten championship game to take on Ohio State. They eventually lost, but it was a great time. Remember going down there? That's a great stadium, Lucas Oil Stadium down in Indy. Indy's a great host town, too. I mean, I think the Big Ten championship game, I understand that Chicago doesn't have a dome for football, but the Big Ten to me, the heart of it feels like Chicago. I mean, the headquarters are in Rosemont. They built that new location. So Indy's a good host city, but it'd be cool to see it at Soldier Field. You know? 312-981-7200. This is The Beat. Feel free to text or call in with thoughts on whatever we're talking about. I also do want to thank, I know Rose probably got plenty of thoughts to say on this Monday as well, but we were all out at the Knarble Express. If you're not sure what the Knarble is, that's what Ro calls his bar cart, Knarble. There's a lengthy story to it. You'll have to have Ro tell it to you. But we call it Ro every year now. He's been doing it in some form for the past 20 years, 25 years or so. He raises Toys for Tots, which is put on by the Marines. The Marines come out, and really all across the country, the Marines will collect Toys for Tots. And last night we held the big holiday show at the Tinley Park Convention Center. It was a great time. Jim Peterick was performing. Richard Roper was out there with us. Ed Obradovich was out there. And by the way, because I've gotten to know OB a little bit over the past few years, he comes on with me and Ro. you know, throughout the season. He has for the past few years. So he came out there. One, super gracious with his time. Two, he was a complete rock star. Everybody wanted to hang out with Ed Obradovich. And Ed Obradovich was, I mean, he's just as intense about everything in life as he is on as about football and the Bears. Where, like, if it's, as Rose said last night, there's no better radio show in America than Hamp and OB when the Bears lose. It does. And I told this to OB. We all went out after the show last night. And I was telling OB, I was like, you know, as a kid, diehard Bears fan, of course, devastated over the Bears Super Bowl 2006 loss. My uncle and aunt are throwing a little party for the Super Bowl. And it was a good time, obviously, for the most part. At least that Devin has to return, not so much after that, maybe. But I remember the party, we're there, and they lose, and I've never seen a party clear out faster than that one. I'm like, get me out of here. So my dad's driving us home, me and my brother are in the back seat, and my dad's got OB and Buffon on. And I listened to them before, but man, they were fired up. And it felt like the first time I really needed radio. I couldn't stop listening. It was therapeutic. Like, this is what I need right now. And I told OB that. I go, that was like the first time. I remember I got out the car, stomped upstairs to my bedroom, slammed the door, and I put I had the little alarm clock radio next to my bed. I immediately put on OB and Buffon. I just laid there and listened to those guys go nuts. And it helped. It certainly helped. But OB is fiery about everything. I asked his wife to take a picture of myself with OB and Ro. The whole time he's just screaming his head off about how long it's taking. He's yelling at me. He's like, what do you want? But in a nice way, in his own sort of OB way. And shaking OB's hand, that's a catcher's mitt, folks. That's a full-blown catcher's mitt. Those are some big paws on that man. And it was just so fun, just posting up and just asking OB questions about certain stuff, about the Bears. And really, he'll talk about anything. OB has thoughts on just about everything. And he's still as sharp as ever, and it was just a great time. So anyway, this is a long way of just saying thanks to everyone that came out to the Tinley Park Convention Center for the Knarble Express. We raised thousands and thousands of toys. Apple Chevy was out there. They actually drive the Chevy Silverados into the convention center. They pulled them in there. They got a garage connected. They could pull it in. And we loaded up the beds of the pickup trucks. And it was a great turnout. Raised thousands of toys. So thank you. Curtis, have you given any toys to Toys for Tots?
Oh, yes. Year and year and year, family has done that.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
We do a bunch of different stuff. Toys for Tots, like coat drives. And
right.
Like, of course, Giving Tuesday was just this past week, too. A lot of different charitable stuff that my family partakes in during the holiday season.
You kind of feel compelled to do it this time of year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Everybody does. It's just you kind of want to give. I mean,
well, especially during this time of year, because you really kind of, I think everybody thinks of others before they think of themselves. I mean, and it all starts with when you give gifts to other people, you're thinking about what that said person will like. Right. And then you start thinking of people outside your family and outside of, you know, your lives, and think about, oh, well, some people aren't as fortunate. And that's where a lot of these great organizations like Toys for Tots kind of come into clause. We actually had one in our high school that, like, a couple of, like, huge big cardboard boxes where people just would drop toys and stuff in.
Yeah, there's a lot of great calls. Like, you mentioned the coat drive. That's the Bears and Jewel combo pair up for that. So you can go to Jewel and drop off coats there. And the Toys for Tots that are raised stay local, too. So they stay in the Chicago area. But it's kind of fun, like, doing the shopping for it.
Yeah.
Because you're almost kind of, when you're doing the shopping, you're almost thinking, like, what would I want at that age? You know, because it varies from age. I wanted to go, like, a little bit older, because it's, I think what they say is a lot of the toys trend towards the younger age, which is fine. But, like, I don't know, like 12, 10, 11, 12, 13, something like that. So I ended up going with the, because I wanted to keep it a little sports theme too, you know, as a sports guy. I went with the classic basketball hoop you hook on your closet door in your bedroom.
Nice.
Everybody wants those, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I should get one of these for myself.
Everybody's doing their best Michael Jordan impression.
Doing the Michael Jordan. You eventually lose the ball. Next thing you know, you're using like a balled up sock that you found on the laundry basket, and you're using that to shoot. Man, I remember some battles with my brothers and cousins. And it always ends the same way. Some kid gets his head knocked against the wall, and then there's somebody crying, and then the moms are yelling from the downstairs, "What's going on up there?" "Nothing. He's fine. He's fine. It's just a little blood." I also got a Nerf gun.
Ooh, those are fun.
Those are very fun. Again, those normally end up someone crying. Somebody gets hit in the face with a Nerf gun. But it's still fun. Actually, for my family with all my cousins, there's like 13 of us, like grandkids. So we do like a white elephant situation. I've been proposing the Nerf gun. I don't know if anybody has good white elephant ideas. 312-981-7200. It's been an ongoing debate between me, my siblings, and my cousins about what we should do. And it's like this every year. I think stubbornness just runs rampant in my entire family. But I've been going Nerf gun. How fun would that be? All 13 of us get a Nerf gun, and then we have a Nerf gun war.
We had that in high school.
It's awesome. Our college student radio station down at Illinois State. Fear the Bird, by the way. They won 24-14, second round of the FCF playoffs. They're moving on, Curtis. We used to do that all the time. People would just show up with Nerf guns, and we'd shoot each other. That was always a good time. And then the third gift I got was the good old classic pigskin, Curtis. The good old football. I think every year when I was younger, for like 5 or 6 years straight, I asked for a football. My dad would be like, "I just got you the football last year." I go, "I want a fresh one. I want the new Wilson GST. The legit one." So those are my three gifts I gave, which are all things like, and there are some toys that I'm like, man, I could like, because everything I got, I'm like, I could have fun with these right now. Toss the pigs. We were in this giant convention center. I'm like, we could toss the rock around. We got a full 7-on-7 right here, folks.
Well, you guys had what, 200 people or so? Show
a little more than that. 300-400 people probably. So
you had a lot of people. You guys could have a tournament.
Could have had a tournament. Could have had a 7-on-7 tournament, Curtis. Would have been fun. I don't think they would have allowed it, but we could have tried to organize it.
One of the things that my family did when I was growing up is that I think it was one of the malls out here. I don't remember if it was Woodfield or if it was a different mall, but they had these Christmas trees like sections off where there was like little ornaments on the trees, but it had like a kid's name and then like some of the stuff that they like, and you could, and what they're specifically looking for, like clothes, toys,
yeah.
and whatever. Yep. And then they had like three things that they love, and it was like, you know, maybe like the Cubs, cars, and or I don't know,
music, whatever.
Yeah, music, yeah. Whatever. And then you could go out and get however
like something
much
relating
stuff
to it
for
yeah,
that
yeah.
kid, and yep. then you give it to the mall, and then the mall would transport it to the organization.
Yeah, whatever. I think we had that like in elementary school. Every kid would grab one, and then you'd bring it home, and then you'd go shopping with your mom or your dad and bring something back to school. A lot of good causes out there. Love to give back this time of year. Curtis, you're a good man.
Thank you.
You like to give back, huh?
Yeah.
Do you have anything on your wish list? What does a Curtis Koch want for Christmas?
Gosh. Nothing like too much in particular. Well, since I just moved here to the city, I've seen like those bumper bullies.
What are those? Oh, are those for fender benders?
Yeah, but
I was wondering what I've seen more and more of those.
But in my apartment complex, like the cars are like practically like literally bumper to bumper.
Gotcha.
So just to kind of keep the car dent free and scratch free, having like something like that would be cool.
Yeah, and cars now that like with all the cameras, a fender bender can turn into a lot more than just a fender bender.
Oh yeah,
you know, because now that you're talking cameras and electric and wires and all that sort of thing. So 312-981-7200. If anybody's got a great, I want to do Chicago themed too. Like if you have a Chicago themed white elephant, that would be cool as well. 312-981-7200. And anybody got a go to great idea for a white elephant situation? This is the B. Plenty more to come. I have thoughts on the Bears. We had Adam Hogan. We had Chris Bowden on, talking a little Blackhawks as well. We should give a tip of the cap to the DePaul Blue Demons as well. They might be Chicago's best team right now. They're 9-0, and they've been a ton of fun. They had a big win over Texas Tech the other night.
They're so fun to watch.
They are. I was at a bar for that game, and like, I can't remember ever seeing this. People were like huddled, like watching the game, you know, like people had serious interest in the Blue Demons. So shout out to them. Plenty more sports talk to come. And give me those white elephant ideas. 312-981-7200. This is The Beat on WGN. A little Nirvana on a Saturday evening. 548, 720 WGN. Kevin Powell with you for about the next hour. It's championship Saturday around college football, the SEC championship ongoing. We're going to have the Big Ten championship game, Ohio State taking on Wisconsin, the Buckeyes number one in the college football playoff rankings. Wisconsin 10-2 on the year, 7-2 in the Big Ten. They're ranked eighth. Ohio State favored by 16 points, which seems about right. Buckeyes are rolling everybody they've faced. The championship Saturday in college football is like the Sunday scaries, but for the football season. Because you know, like, we're getting close to football being over, which immediately makes me, it gives me anxiety, Curtis.
I can't even imagine, we do it every summer without NFL, but college football is great. I'm just excited also, too, because once the new year hits around, it gets just closer to March. March Madness, that's my favorite time of the year.
312-981-7200. This is the holiday season. The Christmas white elephant gift idea. Go to Walgreens, find the section that sells items from As Seen on TV. Anything from that section will be a hit. I completely agree. 847. That was the first white elephant me, my cousins, and my siblings did. And it's stuff that actually, some of it's like, okay, this is like, what is this? But some of them are actually useful. Like the one I love is, there's nothing worse than you microwave something, it splatters all over the microwave. So the As Seen on TV, I'm pretty sure it was As Seen on TV, but this seems like one of those type gifts. It's like a top, like a plastic top, but it's got a magnet or something that it will hold on the top of the microwave for when you're not using it. And then if you are microwaving like a bowl of soup or whatever, you just drop it down and it covers your food. No splatter.
Oh.
Money. Love that thing.
So I've never partaken in a white elephant. So okay. What is that?
So white elephant, I think for some, the white elephant is almost like ridiculous gifts that you would never use. And then, I don't know, you play a game, like some people get it, then you can trade, then you can take from other people. So I guess there are different variations of it, but the gist of it is it's more of like a fun light. It's not like you're buying, you know,
so you just kind of get like an outrageous thing and then everybody kind of.
Kind of. Or something kind of cool. Like, we did a 90s theme one, so...
Oh, okay.
There was stuff like... I don't even remember. But it was 90s theme. It was pretty cool. Yeah, I know a lot of people do, like, a Chicago sports theme one, where you just put a bunch of, like, you could put, like, a Bears hat in there, a White Sox shirt, stuff like that. Which is kind of tough, because I got some cousins who are Packer fans, Curtis, believe it or not. Yeah, something went wrong there. We're not exactly sure what, but they are certainly Packers fans. Unfortunately. 312-981-7200 with you up until 6:45. That's the Big Ten championship game. So Thursday after the show, Roe Con Show, Monday through Fridays, 3 to 7. I'm booking it over to Soldier Field. I'm like, all right, I'm going straight for the station. Which, by the way, like, it's such a disaster getting to the Soldier Field parking lots during game day. Like, can't they figure something out? I get it. I mean, there's only so many entrances, but getting off at 18, it took me like an hour. Folks, we're at 303 Wacker, Wacker in Michigan, essentially. That is not far from Soldier Field. It took me like 45 minutes to an hour, I'm not kidding. Anyway, I'm leaving the station, park in the garage below, and I get on the elevator, and this guy gets on with me, and this guy's a veteran Bears fan. Like, you could tell he's been to dozens of Bears games. Because he's just got the Bears fan look down. He's got the Zubas pants. You know the Zubas pants from the 80s and 90s? Yeah. Those are coming back. He's got those on, the Bears ones. He's prepared for the cold, although it wasn't that bad, but you still never know. Lakefront situation. Bears games, you're cold. He's got the big winter boots. You know what I'm talking about. Like the big time, those could handle like 12 inches of snow situation. Then he's got like layers and layers. He's got a Bears sweatshirt on. He's got a Bears hat. But he also had like a dress shirt and dress pants in his hand. So I don't know if he like got dressed in his car, if he was rushing from work or whatever. So I just look at him like, are they going to win? And he just looks at me and he's like, I don't know, man. He's like, they should just lose out. I'm like, come on, dude. They didn't even play the game yet. This guy looks so defeated. It's just so funny. Like, that guy could be... I love what sports do to people, and particularly football. People just go nuts over it. Like, that guy might just be a regular, rational, everyday, like, 9-to-5 accountant coming, or like a lawyer coming from his job. But when it's game day, that switch is flipped, and people go nuts.
And he's a whole different person.
He's a whole different person. I mean, that guy could have been out there, like, selling, brokering massive deals, business dealings throughout Chicago, a developer. I don't know what he is. But at that moment, he just completely puts that all the way and becomes a massive fan. And I love it. I mean, that's sports for you, right? I think sports should be an outlet in some way, for better or for worse. It reminds me of the Silver Linings Playbook. You ever seen that movie? Random movie drop, but have you seen it? Yeah, with what's his name? Bradley Cooper. And like he sees his therapist or psychiatrist, who's like this very like what you'd expect from a psychiatrist. You know, he's got like the cardigan on and all that. But then he runs into it at the Eagles game, and he's got like face paint and everything. And he's like flying. He's getting in fights with fans. I'm like, that's totally accurate. The everyday people just lose their mind over it. I mean, remember after the unspeakable thing that happened in a playoff game against the Bears and Eagles in early January how people just lost their mind? I mean, they like really lost their mind.
And that lasted for
a while.
A long time.
and then the kicker.
You shouldn't even mention the Bears without that guy being mentioned.
Right. And then Philly trolling. Like some of the buildings had like video board. You know, they just kept putting double doink everywhere, whatever. I'm telling you, like 50 years, you say double doink, Bears fans are going to cringe no matter what. They could have won 5 Super Bowls by then. You hear that, double doink, and you're going to cringe a little bit. But an encouraging game from the Bears Thursday night, I thought. Not even just keeping the season alive, but it also gave you a hope of, okay, because look, week one, unless there's injuries or whatever, next year, it's going to be Trubisky and Nagy, folks. All right? Ryan Pace has way too much invested into Mitch Trubisky to just pull the plug. He's got at least one more year on his rookie deal. They're going to do everything they can. That game against the Cowboys, now he did have an interception, which I don't know what happened there. But overall, very encouraging game for Mitch Trubisky. Complete game. Made some great throws. You know, you go out and break down some of that film and look at the throws he made to Allen Robinson on the quick slam pattern. Had to be perfect timing. It was 1-2, ball out, hit him in the chest, touchdown Bears. Very impressive for Mitch Trubisky. I thought it was, you can maybe say it's his best game as a Bear. And as a whole, as an offense, they've established the running game a little bit. So, an encouraging sign from the Bears, but also a little frustrating knowing that that should have been the situation all season. You're not going to get a dynamite offense performance every week, but you expect better than what we've seen this entire season. But encouraging, and the Bears with some momentum now. The chances of the playoffs, very, very slim. They need a lot of things. By the way, if you're a Bears fan, you should be rooting for the Lions to beat the Vikings and the Seahawks to beat the Rams Sunday. So I know no Bears Sunday, but those two teams, you really want to root for them. The Beat on 720 WGN. Happy Saturday, friends. Happy holiday season. I'm sure many are heading out to Christmas parties and all sorts of get-togethers. Kevin Powell here on 720 WGN with you until 6:45. That's when the Big Ten championship game is. Ohio State taking on Wisconsin. I know there are a lot of Big Ten fans listening, a lot of Wisconsin fans listening as well. It's going to be a tough one for the Badgers. Ohio State number one in the college football playoff standings. They are blowing out just about everybody they face this year. 16-point favorites against Wisconsin tonight. So Badgers, big underdogs. And it is championship Saturday in college football. And in the SEC, LSU is blowing out Georgia. So Georgia looking like they're not going to be in the college football playoff. LSU up 20-7 about midway through the third quarter. So we'll see, because even if Ohio State wins, does LSU move to 1 because they're beating a 4, et cetera, et cetera. So we got college football later tonight. It's December 7th, and the Bears are still in the hunt thanks to Thursday night's victory over the Cowboys. They still need a ton of help. They trail the Vikings by a game and a half. They're a game back of the Rams. They still got to leapfrog two teams. So as I said earlier, no Bears this Sunday. A week from Sunday, they're at Green Bay. Monstrosity of a matchup. Bears need to win that game. So if you're a Bears fan, you've got to be rooting for the Lions this weekend to beat the Vikings, which doesn't seem likely, but who knows? And you got to root for the Seahawks to knock off the Rams, which is very much a real possibility. I mean, Seattle's looking very good with Russell Wilson. And the Seahawks did the Bears a favor last Sunday night when they beat the Vikings. Things are starting to kind of feel good for the Bears after a brutal stretch. It's the final four games of the season. Bears are now 1-0 in the final quarter of the season. And encouraging, too, because Mitch Trubisky played a complete game. He had one really, really bad throw, but other than that, he was outstanding against the Cowboys. I was very impressed with Mitch Trubisky Thursday night. Now, can he sustain this? It's been a few games now where he's been pretty good. I'll give him that. I will say, too, and I've been defending Mitch Trubisky, and I don't really know why I'm going with this angle, but maybe it's just because people, by the way, LSU up 34-3 now at the end of the third quarter. Blowout. I think it's because people, when we do see athletes lash out and make fools of themselves, where they're like yelling at reporters or lashing out at fans or putting something dumb on social media, people love to pile on and point it out. And we see it all the time. So when Mitch Trubisky, I mean, is there a harder place to play quarterback anywhere than in Chicago? I don't think there is. Because football, the Bears are a religion here in Chicago. Even at the Carnival Express last night, I ran into a couple, and we were just ended up just talking Bears for like 10 minutes. I had never even met them before. Passionate Bears fans. They live in Denver now. They found a Bears bar there. I have a friend in L.A. who goes to a Bears bar in Burbank. And people are just nuts about the Bears. And the quarterback play in Chicago has been horrendous basically forever. So when Mitch Trubisky comes in, he's the second overall pick. It's not his fault he's a second overall pick. If you want to get upset at Ryan Pace. You can get upset at Mitch Trubisky for his play, not playing well. I totally get that. As a fan, you're allowed to be upset with a player or down on a player for not playing. It's sports at the end of the day. But some people pile on, and with social media, you see so much dumb stuff, dumb takes, people taking personal shots at guys. So with all the pressure Mitch Trubisky has had, I'm not saying that that's a cop-out for his poor play by any means. But there's been a couple of things here and there, but nothing real major. He has handled himself like a full-blown pro. He has. I mean, I have people like, you know, judging his IQ. Is he dumb? Is he an idiot? Says the guy who's like sitting on the couch tweeting with his other hand in a bag of Cheetos. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why I've felt compelled over the past few weeks to defend Mitch Trubisky a little bit. But, I mean, it's been a few years now, and the guy's taken nothing but heat. Last year, I think a lot of fans started to believe in him a little bit. I don't know how much of that was real or how much of it was just manufactured by Bears fans because they wanted so bad to see a good quarterback, a good franchise quarterback. Like, you look around the league, like a Drew Brees. The Saints are going to be good for, they've been good for a decade. Tom Brady, obviously. The Peyton Mannings. Even Russell Wilson in Seattle. Phillip Rivers with the Chargers. Not all of them are winning, I guess basically all of them except Rivers, but the Roethlisbergers. Like, when could the Bears just get a guy who could be here for like 10 years and they could have sustained success? So last year, I think some of it was Bears fans just be like, okay, yeah, you know, this is the guy, this is the guy, this is the guy. There were plenty of people who have been down on him since day one, no doubt about it. I have tried to just keep perspective on the whole matter and let it play out. I know that doesn't really work in 2019 when it's immediate and everybody wants a hot take, which I just can't do. That's why I have difficulties watching a lot of these national sports TV shows because it's one guy, it's another guy, there's an anchor in the middle. And everyone just yells at each other.
Well, the other thing, too, is a lot of those national guys don't have the grip on the local
bingo
feed of it.
Bingo, Curtis. Keep it local. I completely agree, Curtis. I mean, they read news clippings, and I know they have producers, and that's a lot of work for a lot of those guys and women who are involved with that. But they might have a grasp of what's going on, but they don't have a finger on the pulse of the
fan base. I
was
going to say, do you really think a guy like Stephen A. Smith or a Skip Bayless or somebody, some of those guys really have a grip on what's happening here in Chicago and how things have gone about this season? No, of course not.
No. No. Although Stephen A. does crack me up sometimes.
He does. He's very funny.
He hates the Cowboys. So after the Bears, I wonder if we can pull this, Curtis. Sorry to put you on the spot. We don't need it right now, but Stephen A. Smith does these like selfie videos after the Cowboys lose, and the Cowboys have lost three straight. They're a complete disaster right now. Is Jerry Jones going to fire Jason Garrett? The Bears delivering the latest blow to that organization, which was a complete beatdown. That score does not indicate how much the Bears manhandled the Cowboys. So, yeah, I don't really know where I'm going with this, Curtis. Just my rant about the Bears and Mitch Trubisky in a way I believe maybe it's the holiday season and I'm just in a good mood, Curtis, but I do believe he has handled a lot of the criticism for the most part like a professional.
No, I agree. I agree with that, too. And you know what? It's easy when, at least for him's sake, I think it's been so smart that he's been, and I don't know if there's been an update to this, but he started last year staying off social media until after the seasons were over, after the season was over. He was kind of pulling like a LeBron James in the aspect of where he would stay off social media, quit hearing the outside noise and that sort of thing. Whereas if he was more active on social media, and I don't follow Trubisky on a lot of social media platforms, because
that's where he revealed he liked kissing a certain part of the female body.
I know that, yes. Back in his college days,
yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
But since being the quarterback of the Bears, he hasn't done much, at least on Twitter. On Instagram, I know he posts photos every once in a while, but he's not very active, and since he doesn't really react to a lot of stuff, I think a complete agreement with you that he has handled it well.
And he hasn't lost the locker room. I genuinely believe in what his teammates are saying about him, where a lot of them continue to say, that's our guy, he's our quarterback, he's our guy. I was in the locker room after the Thursday night game talking to David Montgomery, and he was just gushing over Mitch Trubisky, saying the guy shows up at 6 a.m. and he's at Halas Hall till 9 o'clock at night.
Well, and you hear a lot of former players, too, not just here on WGN, but a lot of recent former players who've talked about that they're kind of buying into the hype that Trubisky is kind of becoming a leader, or that vocal guy in the locker room that the players are starting to respect.
Yeah. I want to be very clear. This is not me crowning Mitch Trubisky over one performance. As I said, I'm just trying to remain level-headed with the Mitch Trubisky era here in Chicago. I know a lot of people have wrote him off immediately. This season's been bad. He hasn't played well at all. Couple games here and there. And he's really good Thursday night. I don't know. Those are my nice words, my kind words, Curtis, for Mitch Trubisky out of nowhere. But just felt like it needed to be said because I see a lot of negativity out there. And that's the holiday season. Cheer up. This is The Beat. I'm Kevin Powell. More sports talk, Bears talk, Big Ten championship game coming up at 6:45. You're listening to WGN. I walked into my home last night, and some friends were over, and they were watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I'm like, whatever. I hadn't seen it. I've been dying to see it. But I'm like, it's the last 30 minutes. I'm like, fine, whatever. I don't care. Watch the last 30 minutes, and they're all like, wait, I don't get it. Me, hadn't even seen the entire movie, had to explain what Quentin Tarantino did with the ending there. I'm not going to say what happened, but now I want to watch the first 90% of the movie. I hate doing that. I love starting to finish. I almost like watching movies alone. I don't want anybody bothering me. I don't want any uninterrupted pauses. Anyway, cool ending to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood if you're looking for something. I know a lot of people are off watch staring at the screen this time of year because gathered around the family room and whatnot. And on our TV screens, it has become the most divisive issue in our beautiful country, Curtis.
What's this?
The Peloton bike ad.
Oh.
And I'm not going to rehash it. Like, people are calling it sexist. Like, what are you talking about? Guy can't buy a bike for his wife? People just make everything controversial. Anyway, the issue I had with it is just awkward. The way it's shot, her face, she's like, I'm so scared. I've got to get on a stationary bike. I can't believe it. It's like, what? What are you talking about? Weird commercial. Anyways, the actress who is now known as the Peloton wife has resurfaced, Curtis.
I saw.
The woman who starred in the now infamous holiday commercial for Peloton exercise bike is breaking her silence after its controversy has landed another gig with a gin company. You got the new ad prompted there, Curtis?
I do, yeah.
Fire away.
This gin is really smooth.
Yeah.
We can get you another one,
mm-hmm. If you like.
You're safe here.
To new beginnings.
To new beginnings.
There you go. It's going to be a fun night. Take this too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You look great, by the way.
You look great, by the way. Okay, the setting there is three women sitting at a bar sipping martinis. And the actress, Monica Ruiz, who played the Peloton wife, is in the middle. Her two friends. It sort of seems like, I mean, this being for like for men or women, like something really bad happened to somebody. You're like, all right, we're going to take you out. We're going to have fun. We're going to forget about what happened. So it's three women sitting in a bar. They each have a martini glass in front of them. The Monica Ruiz, the Peloton wife actress, is sitting in the middle, and she just has this blank look on her face, like, what just happened to me? She chugs her martini. That's when you heard her friend go, oh, it's going to be a fun night, and then slides her own martini. It's for Aviation Gin, which is backed by actor Ryan Reynolds. Some are calling it an act of genius in marketing. I think it's pretty funny, Curtis.
I think it's funny. And you know what? That's Ryan Reynolds' humor at its finest.
Right. That's a good point. That's kind of his style. That's smart.
He's been like that when he was in Deadpool.
Yeah.
He always made references to pop culture and that sort of thing. And that just stands out as Ryan Reynolds' idea right there.
And I love how quickly, like, you gotta capitalize when
right
you can.
Right away, they capitalize on it.
So the Peloton transition, the stationary bike commercial, the woman, the actress in it, again, it's like the most controversial thing in our country right now, and there are many controversial things in our country right now, but everybody's got opinion on the Peloton bike ad. So that woman who plays the wife in there is in this gin commercial. She's sitting side by side. She's there in the middle of three women sitting at a bar. You could tell they kind of just went through a traumatic experience. They're not exactly sure how to process everything that just happened.
And
she sells it perfectly.
You can tell, like right when you said when her blank stare, when she's looking at the camera when you first watch the commercial, you can tell that, like, okay, it's kind of like a follow up to the Peloton ad without virtually saying it was from the Peloton ad. And then at the end, you look great, by the way.
You look great, by the way. That's poking at the argument that it's sexist, whether it is or whether it's not, whatever. You look great, by the way. That's great. That's really well done. And it's good too, because like it doesn't need a major setup, right? Because once you see her face, you're like, I know that woman. That's the Peloton wife. Now she's doing aviation gin commercials for Ryan Reynolds.
I would love to see some follow up to this, like down the road. Maybe
she's gonna get a TV series out of this.
Yeah, or she keeps getting used for like aviation gin, but like they still subtly make like jabs at like Peloton or you know, whatever.
Like a series
companies.
Of these.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Like, do you guys want to ride our bikes to the bar or something like that? You guys want to go for a ride? I don't know.
And she gets like a flashback of something and
flashback
goes right back to.
We're doing the brainstorming form, Curtis. We're not getting paid for this. That's funny though. By the way, I didn't think it was a sexist commercial. Peloton ad is my official hot take on that. Curtis, were you offended by it, Curtis?
No, I wasn't at all.
Was it a gut punch to you to see a man buy a
My thought was that
bike
there are a lot of fit women who are into fitness sort of stuff. You know what I mean? And who knows? Maybe she's a wife that's maybe goes out on a lot of runs and she. there's a backstory, maybe. I don't know.
She gets in shape in other ways. I like that. The 312 texting, and the Peloton wife is stupid because of her crying into the camera face. See, everyone's got an angle on this. I know. Well, that's when the first time I saw it, I go, what the hell is this? Like, is this supposed to be airing right now? Because it's shot like not shot like a cheap local commercial, you know? Like, it's shot kind of in a good way. It's just the way they execute everything and the acting and the way it plays out.
Well, and I give props to Peloton because they were the ones that said, listen, everybody's kind of misinterpreting the message of what our
right. We're
our
simply
ad
just like what? Okay, everybody, you know? Calm down.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what people do. People spin zone it to fit their own narrative or something. They're upset. They're like, that's perfect. I can fit that into my narrative that everybody's sexist. 312-981-7200. You're listening to The Beat on 720 WGN. Free shipping is big this time of year. You doing a lot of online shopping, Curtis?
Yeah, most of it's been online. Trying to do some small businesses too, support them, local businesses as well.
Look at you. That's big. What local businesses are you supporting?
I don't think I want to say, because if my folks are listening, then they'll get an idea of who it's for.
Whoa. So, okay.
So
you're being a good son.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it a surprise. Wait till Christmas morning, but Yes, lots of online and local shopping.
It's Curtis Koch producing the beat today. I'm Kevin Powell. Been a fun afternoon here at WGN. 4 to 5 was White Sox Weekly. We had on Scott Merkin from MLB.com. And Bobby Jenks joined the show to start things off at 4. And he's got a wild story to tell. And he told it in the PlayersTribune.com, which is a site that was created basically to give current and former professional athletes just free reign to express themselves, to tell a story, to give an opinion. A lot of different players have done that, but Bobby Jenks went through he went through hell, basically. He did. So he had a medical procedure on his back go wrong that was career-ending, malpractice lawsuit against the doctor, all sorts of medical issues, but he's doing well now. And happy for big, bad Bobby Jenks. So we were talking about, are you going to buy the Peloton bike for anybody, Curtis?
No. One, because I don't have the money for it.
Yeah, no, those things are super expensive.
But also, two, the person I would buy it for has a stationary bike.
Gotcha.
Already.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking about the Peloton bike ad that started. Yeah, I was surprised to see some marketing experts and some advertiser business types. We're giving estimates of how much value the company has lost. And I was like, really? Like, how could that negative? Some of the numbers I saw were staggering. And I just don't understand how that ad, for as goofy and as weird as it is, and it has turned into a wedge issue. Basically, everything's a wedge issue in 2019. You know? You can find something and spin it however you want, and people will get upset about it. We have the Big Ten Championship game coming up at 6 and less than 10 minutes here on 720 WGN. Ohio State taking on the Wisconsin Badgers. I'm sure plenty of you listening are Wisconsin fans. Ton of Badgers in the Chicago area, of course. And Championship Saturday in college football, Oklahoma beat Baylor 30-23 in the Big 12 title game. LSU is rolling Georgia 37-10 with about 7 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. So yeah, we were talking about the Peloton ad, and the actress who plays the wife in the ad has resurfaced. Cue it up one more time, Curtis. Maybe we should play it one more time for anybody that missed it.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, no problem. I'll set it up here. The actress, her name is Monica Ruiz. She played the Peloton wife, and she has resurfaced in an ad that dropped. It's a aviation gin, which is a company backed by Ryan Reynolds, the actor. And the way this is sold, the ad, is just about perfect. It's basically the Peloton wife who is sitting at a bar, and her two friends are next to her, and they each have martini glasses in front of them. And the Peloton wife is in the middle, and as it starts, she just has this complete blank look on her face like she went through a traumatic experience.
This gin is really smooth.
Yeah.
We can get you another one
if you like.
You're safe here.
To new beginnings.
To new beginnings.
There you go. It's gonna be a fun night. There you go. Take this too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You look great, by the way.
312-981-7200. Are you less likely to buy the Peloton because of the ad? That's what I'd like to know. Like, when you see, you're like, I don't want it anymore because of that ad. Because I still see people on Instagram telling you about how they're on their Peloton. People who have a Peloton, Curtis, make sure you know they have a Peloton. A lot of Instagramming. I'm on my Peloton. I got a class coming up. Peloton.
Well, you see a lot of, like, workout stuff. I mean, like, SoulCycle classes and all that stuff.
Summer bodies are made in the winter. Stuff like that. I don't know if someone would see that ad and be like, "Well, I'm done with Peloton. I'm never buying that." 312-981-7200, getting you set for the Big Ten Championship game. I'm excited that we can still talk about the Bears like they're relevant. Because for a while there, it looked like they were as good as dead. I wrote them off after the Rams game. I said, the season's over. It's kind of a quick hit by me right after the game. But so far, over the past couple weeks, things have really gone their way. The win over the Cowboys keeps them alive. They're 7-6, back over 500. They won three straight. Vikings are coming off a loss. They're a game and a half back of Minnesota. Get your Lions jersey out of the closet. You got to be a Detroit fan Sunday. They've got to beat the Vikings. And the Seahawks got to beat the Rams. Those are the two teams the Bears have to jump. Now, tough news out of Halas Hall yesterday. Roquan Smith, who has had a pretty good year. He's had some a couple games ago. Thanksgiving game, he was absolutely dominant. He was all over the field. 15 tackles. He's been good. He has a pectoral injury, and Matt Nagy says it does not look good. Pec injuries is often, not playing doctor here, I'm just saying what I've seen from a lot of players. You see pec injury, it normally means that player's done for the season. So I don't know if that's the case, but Matt Nagy, those are his words. He says it doesn't look good for Roquan. So if the coach is saying that, that's probably not good news. But with the momentum rolling, and look, the Bears got such a break last year, and that's what made the playoff loss so frustrating too, is like everything went their way. 12-4, minimal amount of injuries. All your significant players were healthy for just about the entire season. Eddie Jackson got banged up at the end. Kyle Long missed some time. But for the most part, it's the NFL, and teams are always going to lose players. Bears showed off some depth on Thursday night against the Cowboys. A lot of guys were stepping in. Kevin Pierre-Lewis, Nick Kwiatkowski. That was impressive. So Akeem Hicks set to return against the Packers. So you got the momentum going. That guy means so much to that defense. Off the field and in game. He eats up interior linemen. He's a monster. He frees up Khalil Mack. He frees up everybody, basically everybody in the front seven. And he was outstanding last year. So that's large. Obviously going to be a tough test in Green Bay. But if the Rams and Vikings both lose Sunday, there's going to be some serious Bears hype in Chicago. It's been a ton of fun hanging with you. I'm Kevin Powell. This has been The Beat. Earlier was White Sox Weekly. We started at 4 again. Thanks to Bobby Jenks. Thanks to Scott Merkin. Thanks to Chris Bowden. He'll have the pregame for Blackhawks tomorrow beginning at 5:30. Hawks looking to make it three straight wins. Good little two-game road trip for the Hawks. And Adam Hoge jumped on, our WGN Bears insider. Thank you to Curtis Koch. Curtis, I give you 5 gold stars today. Outstanding work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll put those on my mantle when I get home.
Any big plans tonight, Curtis?
I'm going to a holiday party.
Cool.
Afterwards.
Cool.
Going to be seeing some friends and some family as well. And should be a fun night.
Drink responsibly, Curtis.
Of course. Always do. Always do.
All right, my man. Well, thank you very much for all your help. You always do a great job. Curtis Koch. You've been listening to 720 WGN The Beat. I'm Kevin Powell. I will be back on the air in about a week. I'm going to be off for a week, but I'll be on the Rokan Show a week from Monday. I hope everybody has a great Saturday. Happy holidays. It's time for the Big Ten Championship.